actual readers, but the past is of interest. I have more pleasure from regarding it in the old figure of standing on the shoulder of giants than from gaining the view that the quarterback of the University of Michigan had of Gerald Ford when Ford, as center, was bent over the football. I value Rabelais and Goethe because they were unlike each other and unlike me. With the Romantics, I lean toward change, development, variety, the individual, and unrepeatable experience. I have an experience in reading which is never repeated in the second experience reading the same work. In consequence, I have no affection for structuralism as a dominant approach for the professional custodians of literary works. One mistake inherent in the structuralist endeavor is to believe human life so simple that social studies have become sciences. A second mistake, pendant from the first, is to believe that the analysis of signs can become a science by imitating certain methods of anthropologists, specifically of those anthropologists who are imitating the methods of certain practitioners of linguistics whose teachers were anthropologists who designed those methods. My attempt is not to disparage their learning from each other, but to express my fear that they share an illusion of concreteness similar to the illusion that deconstructionists attribute to positivism. A further error is to believe that we in any way justify our existence as professors of literature by making it our chief aim to say what literature is not, or to demonstrate what the study of literature cannot, in a logically precise taxonomy, be said to be. A freshman studying galvanic action need not be encouraged to call the exemplary frog he works on by a private pet name, but it's not a useful corollary for a teacher of the garden by Andrew Marvel to say to the class, "This is not a frog." Radioactivity and genes need to be studied. And information theory needs to be studied if we are to design computers. But works of literary art do not necessarily need to be studied. They need to be only to be read and to survive. A different view from mine says the individual works need only to be classified, but that we professors need to survive. What I deplore is the insatiable theorizing, much more than the theories. What I question about structuralisms and deconstruction is not their demonstrations, but their relative value for the life of literature. What seems to be implied, for example, is that we do not need a mass of teachers to get others to read works of literature, but that we need a college of cardinals to teach a select few how not to read. If some theorist makes a final discovery on an international business machine of the true literacity of all literature, will it relieve me to know that Virgil, Aphra Behn, and Jeremy Bentham all share that same literacity? When all that is knowable about the stars is known, astronomers will not need to stay up nights any longer to look at them. But that final knowledge will not greatly change the way most of us look at the stars. The heavens are likely to be on view a while longer, at least for viewers who do not have to be content with the competing sublimity of city lights. But the future of books is put in some danger if we manage to convince others that a book has no philosophic right to a life of its own. Without claiming direct descent from Edmund Burke, I believe in prejudice from experience. I distrust all theories and practices that encourage a student to find in a novel or poem what he knew would find. If you know what you will find when you go, why go? What is gained from reading Coleridge if you know in advance that an assertion of organic unity will be for you an illustration of universal indeterminacy and undecidability? This at best is to treat yourself as a student and not as a person. A work of literary art can offer an experience that will change a person. What I and teachers even older than I have learned from experience is that critical certainties will pass, whether they are the certainties of certainty or the certainty of uncertainty. Here, age gives me a perverse authority. I have taught that poems would change, enlarge, improve a person, to students, now parents, who say $12,000 a year is too much to have my daughter told that nothing can be known and nothing can be done. The price for that sort of intellectual superiority is too high. If my argument for particulars is valid, it's an error to believe that romanticism ever existed. Poets and essayists that we call romantic existed individually. I violated my own rules by throwing abstractions at you, but you will realize that wherever I have said we, I would prefer to say they.